Christ's precious name. Thank you, Jordan, for taking that on short notice and leading the Sunday school. So I was preparing for a message this week. I thought about New Year's resolutions because I think I made a few this year. And different times talking with neighbors and friends and stuff, they talk about things they want to do different this year or something they're determined to do. And resolution is a firm decision to do or not to do something. Sometimes we have something that we want to change. Whatever it is. Maybe we have a habit we want to break. Maybe we have a financial situation we want to get out of or whatever. And so I just pulled up some statistics that I found interesting, and this is for North America. I think different areas probably are different, but it said 45% of North Americans set New Year's resolutions, so it's not something that's uncommon. It said 17% infrequently set resolutions, or in other words, every now and then they'll decide this year we're going to do something. And 38% never set a resolution. 8% always achieve their resolutions. 19% achieve every other year. 41% have infrequent success, which could be 1 out of 10 years, it said. And 21%, or 1 in 4, never succeed and have failed on every resolution every year. I found that interesting. 1 in 4. 47% set resolutions related to self-improvement, education, listed off different things. But in other words, to try to improve my life this coming year. 34% set resolutions related to money. 38% set resolutions related to weight. And 31% set resolutions related to relationships. That's just someone that did a report. I don't know. I'm sure there's different ones you could find. I don't know. But I just found that interesting. And, you know, as I thought about it, often, and I don't know how it was for you that over the holidays, we had a lot of family time. And we enjoyed going back and looking at pictures from last year at the same time or even on our phones anymore. I believe my phone goes back to 2015. And it's enjoyable to go back and look over the years and look at the changes in your life, in your family, in your children. Maybe you moved in between there, whatever, just the different changes, relationships. Maybe you set some resolutions if you did that. I know for me, as I look back, I was just challenged, what did I do in the last 10 years, for example, as I looked at pictures of my family and stuff, did I set goals for them that will help them? As I looked at that, I guess I was challenged, and I want to take you to First Peter 5. There's one verse that I think will help us. I don't know if you've ever set a resolution. I know when I have in years past, decided this year I want to do something, or I wanted to be by this time next year I wanted to be at a different position in my life, and whatever it was. But I found out, sometimes whatever it is, the first month or so, maybe you're determined this is going to work this year, and after a while the busyness of life, things take over. But 1 Peter 5, verse 8 is a verse that my mind went to. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And my mind went to the spiritual side of resolutions, I guess. What am I resolving in this coming year? You know, if we would all just step back and look at our lives in the last 10 years, like we can look at photos of our family, of our home, or our children. But if we could step back and see a visual photograph trail of our Christian life, what would it look like? And I guess that's what challenged me as I thought about that, as I looked at my own life. And I have set some resolutions in the past. Maybe you have too. Maybe there's something you struggle with. Maybe it's just not reading the Bible enough. Maybe not spending enough time in prayer. Not spending enough time on relationships with my church, whatever. And why is it so hard to be successful in that? And I believe this verse is very simple, makes it plain. He says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he gives us 2 points. He says, be sober, be vigilant. So the first one, be sober, as the thought of, when you're sober, you're careful, you're thoughtful, you're prepared. And that goes with the thought of being vigilant, is being prepared, I believe. And that's so often why we fail. Even when I remember one time I was determined I was going to read through my Bible. And I know I never did. And actually that was one that I decided this year I wanted to read through the whole Bible. But we're only like at day 4 of January, and you have to make a conscious effort to read a certain amount every day if you're going to do that. For the sermon today, I want to start in 1 Peter. I had found a lot of different verses. I'd wrote stuff down, and I don't know why. I guess think there was a verse I was looking at, 1 Peter, and I just started reading through the chapters, and I hardly knew where to start and where to stop. So I erased a bunch, and I decided we're going to read through 1 Peter here, and I want to just start pulling out things that we can use as maybe a New Year's resolution for you, or things to help us, and things to avoid. And there might be things I miss. I'm not going to say that I've covered everything as we read through here, but I just want to pull out points that we can use to make, maybe we should all as we read this, just pull out one thing. This year, I'm going to resolve to do this. We'll start reading, and I'll pull out points, and if you have any, just jot them down or keep track of them yourself. But let's just start reading and see what we find. Verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Actually, let's stop. I was going to list them off as we go. In verse 3 and 4, he covers a number of things there, but he talks about having gotten us into a lively hope. In other words, our life has changed. And then there in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. And I guess the point as I read that I just would like us to think about is, my life changed enough that people by the end of the year, let's say, don't believe that I'm kind of fading away, if you just can use it literally, I guess, the way it in our words. He's talking about an inheritance, something that's ahead of us, but I believe it's also part of us now. And, you know, we can put on Christ, and we can be all inspired January 1st. This year, I'm going to serve the Lord. I am determined. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be involved in my church. And by February, what does my church see of me? What's my life look like? He says there in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. And I believe that's a point, maybe just as I thought of that, a point of being kept by the power of God is when I submitted to God's will and in God's will, God keeps us. And that is the power that we can have to keep these resolutions. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, and actually a lot of times, the reasons we make resolutions is because we're in a hard time. Maybe we resolve to be out of our, let's just start with financial situation. By next year, this time, I want to be in a different finance. I don't want to have to be a servant to the banker. And maybe in our Christian life, am I struggling with anger, with jealousy, lust, whatever it is? He talks about the trial of your faith being much more precious. God allows things sometimes to see what we will do. You think of what he allowed the devil to do with Job there. He said, you can do anything but spare his life. And I believe sometimes God, I've never experienced even half of what Job went through. And probably most of us haven't. But as you think of what Job went through there, I guess it often challenged me as I think about God was watching that. And he had protected Job because he said you cannot do anything with his life. But the things that he went through, the trials, trial by fire. And he says, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In other words, these trials would make something better. They're going to make something beautiful. Something that Christ can present to God, and it brings him honor and glory. Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Verse 11 and 12 are something, as I studied, I went back to the verses that my Bible takes me back to the Old Testament. And it talks about the prophets that studied. They looked ahead to Christ. And it's numerous verses talk about them spending much time in prayer, in fasting, in studying scripture, the what they had, history, I guess. And then they shared. And I guess two things, resolutions I think we should all make, is so first of all to search out God. Spend time in the scriptures, spend time in your Bible, and search out what God wants. You know, we often say, how do I know I'm living in God's will? Well, I believe if we spend time in his word, we'll know where we're at in that. And verse 12 has a thought of sharing it then. Those prophets didn't search that just so they could contain that. They searched it so they could share it. And the encouragement I want to leave for us is, are we searching so that we can share? Do I actually have a message that's worth sharing with the community? Do I have a message that's going to inspire others to search out Christ? Do I have a message that as people see my life, they want whatever that difference is? Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. And these next couple verses have a lot of points. Gird up the loins of your mind. Just stop there and think about that. This is something I believe that we can resolve. Each one of us has a mind, and each one of our minds is busy. And our mind needs to be controlled. Each one of us allows what happens in there. And I like how he says, you know, I like that thought there, to gird it up, to surround it, to protect it. In other words, you are accountable for what you put in there. What you think about is what you put in there. And if you're struggling with thoughts, whatever it is, take care of it. Deal with it. It's up to you. He says, be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that has been brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he says, take care of your mind. Then he says, be sober. In other words, if you're sober, you're careful, you're controlled, you're thinking, you're planning, you're directing. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, you're brought out, you're changed, you're a complete opposite of what you were. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. You know, as I thought about that, we serve a holy God. And I don't believe it often affects us the way it should if we realize how holy of a God we serve. If I am a follower of Jesus Christ, I am a follower of a holy God. And as I read through that, I know I've read that verse and heard it many times, but it really struck me. Is my life holy? Am I living in a way that shows the holiness of God? We could go, and I'm not going to take the time this morning, but there's many verses that show us what the holiness of God is. If you're wondering, start reading through Romans. Continue reading in 1 Peter here. It talks about the holiness of God. And I believe that our lives would be changed, each one of us. If I resolve this year to be more like God, more holy, I believe each one of us will be different. He talks about us in our conversation in verse 15 there. First of all, he says what you're putting in your mind there in verse 13, and we're going to skip some things, come down. Then in verse 15, he talks about what comes out of us. Two things we control, what goes in and what comes out. And then he ends it with, be holy, for I am holy. And that's God talking, because he says there in verse 16, it is written. And he's going back to, I looked up where that was, and I could not find it quickly here before I stood up here. But be holy, for I am holy. Make that a resolution of yours to deal with. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, receive from tradition by your fathers. Receive by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. A couple of things that here that we could resolve to do this year. First of all, he's talking about a pure life. There's just so much beauty in there. You know, the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish. That was Christ. And he says each one of us can be redeemed by that. But then he goes on there in verse 22. He says, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. He uses the word pure again. In other words, no ulterior motives there. Everything is right, and that's how we're going to love each other. You know, if we resolve to can I say, love our brotherhood, our brethren, our church, as Christ loved us. Maybe each one of us will be a little different. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. And keep going here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, let's stop there. Look at all those things we're to put away from us. If you go through that list, and we don't need to even sit here and try to decipher each one, but you look at that, there's not a lot of room for any hard feelings, anything between me and my brothers and sisters, my spouse, whatever. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, I think sometimes if we would have more of a desire there that it talks about for the word of God, we would grow a little more. And what I mean by that is I feel that so often, or maybe I should back up. I feel sometimes as some of us that have grown up in our Mennonite culture, let's say, we tend to feel that we have the knowledge we need. We know what it takes. We're in a position where we have it. But if we would desire to learn more, that if we would desire to grow, and, you know, a baby wants milk because it's hungry, and it doesn't even know why, but it just wants that. And, you know, I believe if we get that way, where we desire, if we can't go through our day without filling ourselves on God's word, we will grow. And he puts almost in a question there, but it's not a question, verse 3. He says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, if you've experienced what God can do in your life, you will want to spend time in God's word. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed even indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Finally, verse 9 and 10. These are the last two verses I'm going to read this morning. And, you know, he's talking about a foundation here, and he's talking about what Christ is to us and what he is to those. You know, to us, he's our cornerstone. He's what we build on. Everything I do in life is balanced on what Christ wants. But he says, to those that don't understand, he says he's a stumbling. They don't understand. And he talks about being a stumbling block or something that they stumble over because they don't understand. He says a rock of offense where actually truth offends. And I believe, as I thought about that, that's putting in my own words, but I believe truth does offend people more and more. I don't know if it's because what it is, but just recently we were with a neighbor and we were talking. We drove home from the city together. And he said, you know, he said, I believe more and more, and he's not really a professing Christian. He doesn't believe. He believes there's a God, I think, but I'm not sure how he quite would believe about eternity. We've talked about it some, but he doesn't seem to understand it. But he said, we were talking, and he said, you know, Lyndon, he said, I believe more and more there is something. He said, right now there's a fight going on. He said, it's a fight between good and evil. And that, we talked some more, and I believe we had a good conversation. That's what Christ is. It makes good and evil very stark. In other words, there's not a lot of gray. He did not believe that there was a lot of shady room anymore. He said either it's right or it's wrong. And I was challenged by that, how he looked at that. But verse 9 there, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And we're going to stop there, I believe, for now. A chosen generation. You think about that. We are called out. We are set apart for a reason. And he says, you have a reason. You have a reason to resolve this year to follow Christ. He says that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does your life look like today? What does your mind look like? If you could look at your mind, even in the last week, what did you put in your mind? What did you read? What did you allow to enter it there? If you allow questionable things into your mind, do you believe that Christ will share that room with that? I don't believe so. I do not believe that we can put things in there that are questionable or that take our mind places that we shouldn't go and believe that Christ is in there. He says that we will be different. We're going to be a peculiar people. We're going to stick out. And if we fit in a little too easy, I wonder sometimes, am I a called out Christian? Or am I someone that is willing to compromise? Am I willing to try to fit in? It's not easy to be different. We don't like that. We don't like to stick out. He says, when time passed, we're not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's only by God's grace and his mercy that each one of us is here this morning. Each one of us has the opportunity to be here, the opportunity this coming week to show Christ to others. We're called to show forth the praise of him who called us out. We're going to stop there. We could have kept going. I had read through a lot more earlier there. But I believe this is good enough. This year, don't be scared to make some resolutions. Are you resolved to follow Christ this year? Are you resolved to keep your mind pure? Are you resolved to be holy because I serve a holy God? That's a challenge. I guess it just really hit me, and I want to leave it with each one of you. Resolve today that this coming year, I'm going to be a more holy Christian. I'm going to serve God with my whole heart. I'm going to spend time in his word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. You know, I believe probably a lot of us prayed this last week. Someone had put on for Brother Chris, for his sick children. And I thought about that, the power of prayer. Did we take the time? Did we pray about it? Did we send the thumbs up and then forget about it? Let's be faithful. Let's care for each other. Let's pray for each other. And most of all, let's live holy lives. And let's resolve. It's nothing wrong with making a resolution, drawing a line in the sand, whether it's January 4 or January 1. Draw a line in the sand. From here on, I'm going to follow Christ. May the Lord bless you. We'll have a song, and then Brother Jess, please.